Yerusha Mikolayim Daf Nun Ches. We're starting from the Mishnah on Nun Zayim Beis. So the Mishnah discusses about the permissibility, or the Isser, I should say, of planting seeds in a kerem, but underneath an overhang where we have, as Mishnah discussed it before, you hang the gefanim, the vines over a trellis, over a apiperios, and the Marfulda explains that's etzim akonim. It's made of either wood or reeds that are made like shesi ve'erev, weaved together, and you katresel, and you put the gefanim over that to hang them over so they can grow, and they can extend to go even further. They can get very large, they can go and wrap themselves around. So the question is, can you put seeds under that piperios, under that trestle, even if it's not where you are actually planting, where you actually have the vines are going, even the other part of it, that the vines have not yet grown there, are you allowed to plant zera? That's the look of the Mishnah. Amadle es hagefen al mixas apiperios. A person wants to go ahead and shapes the gefanim, the vines over a mixas apiperios, on part of the trellis, that is not where the vines are. It's part of the trellis itself, but it's not where the vines are underneath. Halakha is leyov zera l'tachasamota. You should not do it. You should not put the zera underneath the part, even the part that's the extra part that you don't even have yet planted, that nothing is over that, that you shouldn't do that either. Again, with the raisa, it's not a problem. The rabbanan are machmir, that you shouldn't do that because it's something that could become as it extends, as the gefanim do grow further, so it will come out that you will have the seeds plant the zera underneath that. And that's a din aniser of kolay zeraim, of zera zeraim, that you can't do. But however, that's why I look at the b'rais, the midarabonon, you should not do that. And even on the part that hasn't grown yet, v'mehevi lo kiddush. But if you talk, went ahead and you did, you planted the seed there, on the part of the trellis that has not, the gefanim, not yet over it, halacha is, it doesn't become us. So even though the rabbanon say you shouldn't do that, and it's a close correct kerem, however, if you went and you did it, we don't answer it. It's only the rabbanon, and rabbanon said we don't answer it. In such a case, it doesn't become kadosh. However, imhilach kadosh aser. However, if once you let it go, you planted the zera, and now the vines grew and extended now that in on part of the trellis that can now over the gefanim, over with the zera, it's over where the seeds are, so it's right hanging over the zera. That's mamish an isser of kloy kerem, and then it would be considered usher. It's usher, and you'd have to remove it. It'd be usher to do it, shalav the rice or not, but it's surely usher, and it's usher for no, and you have to take them and remove them and destroy them, because that would be any din of any kloy azorim, of any isser kloy kerem, which would be an isser mixed together, it would be considered usher. So whether it's the rabbanan that we usher, or the rice that we usher, is a machlokas in the rechroinim, how to learn the halachas. Lamaisa, the Marfulda seems to say clearly it's a derabbanan digadin. Not so clear when you look at some of the other mepharshim like the Rashmi Salur, seem to say more if it's a din d'oraisa. But that's something that you see machlokes in the poskim and the achrayim as to what the issur is. But lemaisa, you'd have to remove it. That the Mishnah says it's usher, you can't do it. Same thing. Chamala makes a seal in tzarak. A person goes ahead and places a gefen, a grapevine, over a barren tree. An Elon's rock. Again, an Elon's rock is a tree that does not, Mishnah is going to discuss in more detail, and is that does not give off any fruit. So the halacha is, that's a din of like a papyrus. It's not a din where we have to worry about that anything's going to grow over it. The same halacha applies. If you go ahead and you're putting the vine over a barren tree, a malas hagefer, the mixes Elon Michael, that you can't do. Halacha same applies. You shouldn't do that as well. And if you did it, doesn't become a client. However, a madla is a gefa mixes yil Michael. If you went ahead and you put the vines over a tree that does give off fruit, that does give off some fruit, then mutu lovi zera takas amoyta. You'll have to go ahead and put it on the left of the part that's not covered. You'll have to go ahead and do that. That does not become part of it. You're allowed to go ahead and do that. Why would you be allowed to do that? So there you can another mavato agabi gefano. Since that mutter, considered separate. separately. We don't look at it like it's a geffen. We don't look at it like it's part of the tree itself. And we look, even though lemaisa, you're doing it on a tree that normally you use a tree that's the ilan tzrak doesn't give off anything. But here you're doing it on a tree that gives off fruit. So meila, we look at it like it's a separate thing, as the Marfulda says, b'fnei atzmo. It's a choshe b'fnei atzmo. It's like its own thing. It's not considered a geffen. It's like it's its own separate tree. And there you're allowed to go ahead and plant zera there. Because on a tree, there's no iser. On the gefanim, on the kerem, you can't do. But when you're planting it on Elon Srak, so then you put in the geffen on a tree that doesn't give off any fruit, it's barren. So then it's also because that's no different than you're doing on the trellis. The same thing applies. It's just holding up the gefanim. It's really part of the gefanim. And therefore, kalayim, we don't let you do it. But if you're doing it on a tree that gives off fruit, mixas Elon Michael, then it's not as butta the gefanim, and not, it's only holding up the gefanim, but it's not a din of the gefanim. It's not part of the gefanim. It has its own din. It's of a tree that gives off fruit, and there you let it plant zera. There's no iser of zera of planting zrayim seeds by a tree. And therefore, that would be considered mutter. You'd be allowed to do that on the extra part that the tree, nothing is growing there. You'd be allowed to do that. However, the Mishnah continues and says, v'im, and if it would be that the case of the Mishnah would be v'im. But now the tree extends, and now it goes further, and now it goes back to the original position. Now, lucky is it's aser. However, if it now you go ahead and it goes back to the original, you let it go ahead and do that. Says the Marfulda, what does that mean? It means that even though it became aser, when it goes and the gefanim extended, and it's now over the where you planted the seeds, that would be aser, just like the first case of the Mishnah. However, if you went ahead and you replaced it, you put it back, and now it's back on the tree, but not under the gefanim directly, then the halacha goes back to the original state of the halacha that it's considered the kosher b'nei atzmo, and therefore you'd be allowed to keep it there, would not be a problem. And the Mishnah continues with the maisa. We will see this halacha of halacha l'maisa. Maisa, the Gemara says, halacha of Yeshua, it's of Yishmael. Rabbi Yeshua went to visit Rabbi Yishmael, but Kfar Aziz, in a place, Kfar Aziz, the name of a place. And he went, and he saw Ariel Geffen, Shui, Medulla, Mixes Taina. Yishmael showed Rabbi Yishmael that he had planted a gefanim, a grapevine, over a Mixes Taina, over a fig tree, on part of a fig tree. Amalai asked him, Mahalim Yahavit Sevitak, because am I allowed to go on the part of the tree, the remainder of the tree, which is the figs are not growing? Am I allowed to go ahead and put a plant seed over there? Is that mutter? Am I allowed to go plant a seed over there? So again, we said the same halacha. Since it gives off the gefanim, it gives off tain, it gives off the figs, just like we just said in the case of the Mishnah, in the second case of the Mishnah, since it's a fruit-bearing tree, so the gefanim become, it's not, it doesn't become something holding up gefanim like the trestle. It becomes it's a tree, and a tree, because it's kosher b'nei atzmo, and therefore it would not answer it. So like the case of the Mishnah here, l'chayra, the mixes teina, makes it its own din, and therefore l'chayra, you should be allowed to do it. And he taka paskin, I'm allowed to do it, I'm like, mutti, he said, you're allowed to do it. That's that case in the Mishnah, Mamish that case in the Mishnah. However, Elisham made a good and then he went in, and Shmuel took him to a place called Beis Magnaya, another place, another, my father says, a different city, another place, Shem Mako. And he went ahead, and he showed him the Avigev and Shum Mudla Mixakaira. He showed him there was a grapevine that was hanging over a part of a beam, not a tree, but a beam, a Sadon Shal Shikma Bokor Harbe. And it came from a Sadon Shal Shikma, there was a stump of a Shikma tree, and had many different beams there. In other words, what they do is there, this is the way the Mefreshim explained, that you cut down this Shikma tree, you cut it down to the stump, and you have many different things that come from there, many different koras, different beams that come from there. So one of the beams that you had coming from there, he placed the gefanim on that. So now the question is, you let it go plant seed under that. Would that be permitted? You let a plant seed under that. So the Gemara says, do we say the same halacha that it's considered as if it's like a trestle, which doesn't have its, which is, therefore would be yasser, or do we say that it's like a tree that gives off a fruit, and mamela, therefore it's a kashub me'atzmo, and you're allowed to do it? So Amalei Yishon said to him, takakurzu yasser, under this beam, that you can't do. It's considered as if you're planting under the kefanim, under the, and therefore that would not be considered good, because we don't look at it, we look, the whole part, you cannot do it. Takakurzu yasser, under the beam is yasser, Kam, but if you do it on the other part, that would be considered okay. If you're putting the Zera on the other part, again, because each thing is considered by itself, and what's the Pshat, the other part? Says the Marfulda. The reason why it's says that Shani Roya Kol Kira Kira Kil Feyatzman. Said that I look at the other ones like each one's like its own halacha. Mamela, therefore, under the Kira itself, where you have the Gefanim on top, that you can't do. That's the Halacha in the Mishnah, the first case in the Mishnah. That would be considered Asir. It's Kalai Ezraim. Kloy Kerem, that would be considered Asr. However, in the other parts, I look at each beam, says the Marfulda. Each beam has an independent beam. Therefore, Ashamut would be allowed to plant from there. And those other ones, you'd like to plant there, that part, because that's considered, again, Choshub Neatzmo, and therefore it would not have an Isser of Kloy Kerem. You'd be allowed to plant other seeds under there. Mishnah discusses, when we talked about Ilan Tzrok, what are we referring to? What does it mean? What's the halakha? What are we referring to when we say Ilan Tzrok doesn't give her fruit? We know it doesn't give her fruit, but what is the status of this Gefanim? Israel Yonza, what's an Ilan Tzrok? So goes on, I saw Peros. So Misha says that the normal thing that we always know, Ilan Tzrok is a tree that doesn't give off any fruit. That's the status of an Ilan Tzrok. It doesn't give off any fruit. That is what's considered an Ilan Tzrok. Rameyah says, no, I call Ilan Tzrok. Every tree, even the ones that give her fruit, is considered an Ilan Tzrok. Except Chutzman Azayas, meaning except Azayas didn't give it. Which means that Gabi, this halacha of planting Gefanim, planting Zera underneath there, Rameyah says, doesn't make a difference only fruit that are not giving fruit. Even trees that are fruit-bearing trees, all halacha would be the same halacha applies. You would not be able to plant there except for the olives and the figs. Those are different. Why? Because those are would be considered, these type of things are unique, and therefore we don't make them. That's surely something that doesn't make a bottle to the thing, and they would be separate of its own. Therefore, the other regular tree, even if it grows something, it's considered bottle. It's mavutel to the gefanim, and therefore the gefanim take over, and therefore be also the plant. But Zayas Etain, Rameyu says a fig tree and an olive tree. That's a davar chashuv. Davar chashuv makes it more chashuv than the gefanim itself. Therefore, it's considered chashuv neatzma. Therefore, it's not mavutel to that. Says the Marafulda again. Rameyu holds kol shari lonos mavutel again is mavutel to the gefano. But this is different because the Zayas Etain are not. They're too chashuv. They're not considered mavutel. Third sheet in the Mishnah of Yossi Omer, Kol She'en Kamoa Notin Sodas Shlemos, any tree of which does not give off planting the whole field, everyone's considered Nidlan's rock. If it only goes limited, Yossi has a different thing it says. In other words, that trees itself is kosher enough and is Mevatel the Gefanim. However, only trees that are considered something specifically that you go ahead and you use it for the whole field, you make the entire field, says the Mafult again. Any type of tree that you use to plant the entire field of these type of trees, that's considered chashuv. Then those are not mevatel the gefano. That becomes more chashuv than the gefano. Other trees are Yossi, even if it's grows other things grow from it, it still would be considered subordinate mevatel to the gefanim. Except for something which is you plant the entire field for, and therefore that would be something that it gets a more of a din of more chashuv, and that would be something that makes it ois mavotel to the gefanim. The gefanim would become batel to that because it's considered chashuv in the atzmo. Three different shitas in the Mishnah as to define an Ilan Tzrok. Okay, back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, to understand the halacha we talked about, how far do we go when we say you can't plant underneath it, even not on the part that the gefanim are growing, how much are we talking about? How far, and what's the extension, how much do we do? So the halacha of the Mishnah is that the thing is that the width of the trellis that you're planting, only if it's between 3 and 4 tefachim. But if it's less than 3 tefachim, kasasim, it's considered if it's closed, it's sealed off, and therefore, the halacha would be you can't plant anything there, and even with the average, you can't plant anything there, any seeds there. But if you have between 3 and 4 tefachim, then you have a completion of 4 tefachim. Before you can plant, you separate 4 tefachim away, then that would be considered okay to plant under the tree. But you leave 4 tefachim away, then halacha is that's good enough for the vine to grow, and maybe beyond 4 tefachim, you could go plant what you want. In other words, the less than 3 tefachim, kasasim is considered mamish like you're planting right underneath, even though it's right in Mishnah. right on. You know, again, the Rav Chizkiyahu is explaining, the Mishnah is talking about halakha and said that you can't plant, the halakha, you got to plant under the trestle where the gefanim are not actually being. What do we mean? Is it directly under? How far of a space are we talking about? So Rav Chizkiyahu says, again, from 3 to 4, if it's less than 3, halakha is, it's because it's sasim, it's like mamish, like it's underneath. It's because it's closed, like mamish underneath the gefanim. Shloshev yad abba mashim. That's where you have the shayla of the Mishnah. How far do we go? You have to make it to 4, because abba nagas l'ba. 4 is no problem. 4, you're allowed to plant the gefanim. If it's 4 away, if it, you're allowed to plant the zeraim, it's 4 away from the gefanim. Halakha, that you'll be able to plant. That would not be considered a problem. That would not be considered a problem. You have enough space there, and therefore that would be the halakha of the Mishnah. Frank the Gemara. Gemara says, 1 second, Anheichan, until where, how far does it go? How far of an area does it be considered usher? When we say, says the Marful, the usher is roya takas ha-meiser, when we say it's usher to go, to plant underneath the extra part, you still can't plant, but if you did it, it wouldn't be considered a klayim, isid rabbanon, how far are we talking about? Where does it go? How far does the extent of the isur go? Till 4 amas, till the end of the vine, 4 amas away, is considered part of the isur, of the place that you can't go. So if you have if the trestle is considered 10 amas long and you have it go and you have a separation, if you have 4 amas away from that, then you will have to go ahead and plant under the remaining the remaining amos of the trestle, as long as you're 4 amas away. It's not enough to have 4 amas, you have to have 6 amas away from the end of the vine to be able to be considered to plant the Zerayim. We go even more than that, and therefore you'd have to separate more. So it'd be between 4 or 6 would be the Machlokas as to how far you have to separate the Gabi, this trellis, of how far you'd have to be able to go ahead and make it. In other words, from 6 and on, for sure you're allowed to plant. That everyone agrees. So the question is now, between 4 and under 4, everyone agrees you can't. Between 4 and 6 is where you have the Shaila, Machlokas Tanoim, as to how far you'd be able to plant. I'm Ramon. I'm going to say, I was the custom. When I went to Caesarea, Shamisa Rav Yeshua Basim, Abishem, Abitzah Ben Lazar, and I heard of Yeshua Malazi said the name of Yeshua Malazar, Imo Yeshdei Paris Mutter, if there are two separate property, two separate tyrosis, these two separate trellises, one to each one, one is separate from each other, and you have a grapevine or gefanim going over one of them. The question is, are you allowed to go ahead and put on the second one? Our Mishnah says if you have it over one of them, you're not allowed to plant even on the extra part of the trellises. You can't go ahead and plant even the part that the gefanim are not there. You shouldn't do it. If you did it, it's mutter, as long as it's not directly underneath. But what about if you have two separate ones, one next to the other? So now, and the gefanim is only on one. Are you allowed to plant a seed under the other one? So the Gemara says yes. Mutter, that's mutter to do. It's considered as if it's two separate ones. It's not considered subordinate to one to the other, and you'd be allowed to go ahead and plant. There's, between the pepeyah, you're allowed to go and do that. I'm Rechanin, disagrees. Tani Polak, there's a Brisa Lechaira that seems to disagree. Brisa says Faker. What does a Brisa say? If it's the way of the vine that it goes from one to the other, it skips, it goes from one to the other, then it's usher to play. Even on the second one, it's usher. We look at it as if it's one. What does that mean? What's the lesson of the Gemara? Says the Mafulta explains, the Brisa seems to say that if you have Darkashal Balabayas, so alas, Zirak Shtesh, Yerav Ben Kura, the Piazel Ben Kura, that you know he makes two of them, two separate trellises, but they're in a way where one goes to the other one. The Gefanim extend from one to the other, that it's made in a way that it should be joined together, even though they are made separately, but it's a way the Gefanim would begin to connect. Then look, then would be even on the second one, it'd be usher to plant as well. That you can't, you'd be able to plant the they wouldn't be able to put the zera even under the second one. So I said, time to come into Bryce on that. So if the way the vine that it skips goes from one terrace to the other one, kefifar akul considers if it's one trellis, and the halakha is going to be usher to plant on either one. The same bracha mafurisha Bryce, what we just said, that would be usher to plant on either of them, even on the second one, because it's considered as if they're one. That is halakha of the Mishnah. The Brisa explains the halakha of the Mishnah. Now, the question is, the one wants to know here, what's the difference between these types of Ilan Shruk and not? Maybe Ilan Shruk by Ilan Michael. Mishnah gives two cases. One, an Ilan Shruk, a barren tree. The other one says Ilan, and that gives off fruit. What's the difference between the two of them? We know it sees what the difference is, but what's the halakhic difference? So, the Gemara, other Mavatel, Ilan Shruk, Abba Gefano. Person goes ahead, is Mavatel. Ilan Shruk is worthless, is meaningless, because it doesn't do anything, doesn't grow anything. So, therefore, you Mavatel the tree to the Gefano. So, the Gefano that's running on to over the tree, that that's leaning on the tree. That's the Iker. The Ilan Shrak is the Tafel. The Iker is the Gefanim. So he's mevatel the tree to that. But a tree that gives a fruit, even if it's not the best fruit, but it gives a fruit, no one's mevatel the tree to the Gefen that's on top. So there, the tree is what's the Iker. Therefore, if you want to plant Zera underneath part of the tree, which is not directly underneath the Gefen, you're allowed to do that because it's considered Choshev Neatzmo. It's separate. It's not part of it. You're allowed to do that. So the Gemara, Tani Taman, we learned in the Mishnah a similar halacha. We learned the Mishnah in Kalim. Kol Chamos Tzeros Taharos. All flasks, all the leather flasks that are tied together, all considered Torah. There's no, it's not Royal Mekabel Tumah. If you have a hole in it, the halacha is, it's possible, it's no good. But if you tied a hole and you close it up, and now it's tied, then you can put things into it. It won't just spill right out in the hole. Mela, therefore, it's not considered us. It's considered Torah. Mela, it's not Royal Mekabel Tumah. Chutz Mishalav Voyim, except the ones that they made from the Arabs, because the Arabs, they make knots, ksharim. The Mafuda says that it's so difficult. And then therefore, we say that it's permanent. It's considered as if it's sealed. Maybe it's considered Royal Kabbal Tumah. Says the Malfulda to explain, an Arab knot is made very, very difficult. A regular thing with a regular knot you have, you close it up, you make a hole, and you close it, you tied it up, so the hole is not gone. Since it's going to get a Torah, it's still considered a Torah, because eventually it's going to undo. The knot is only temporary. Undo, maybe everything will spill out. Maybe it's considered Torah. It's not considered a Kli. But if it's Shalavayim, which is the knot that's a permanent, the Arabian knot, there's something that never goes, that you can will stay for forever. Therefore, it's considered a kli, and therefore it's considered a kli, and therefore the would be considered usher. So a lot of the time, so that's more says. Shall Arvim would be considered. Meir says no. Tzara Asher Tahiros. When the flask are tied only temporary, they're tar. But Tzara Lom Tameiros, if they're tied forever, it's going to be considered tamei. If they decide permanently, it's considered usher, because we consider it's not a toli on the knot. He disagrees. Meir disagrees with the Tanakam. Tanakam says toli on the type of knot. If it's a temporary knot, it's tamei. If it's a permanent knot, it's tar. However, Meir says no. It's right. We don't go by that. We don't go by that type of knot. Tzara Shia Taras. What we talk about cases, if it's tied temporarily, it's tar. If it's tied permanent knot, it's going to be considered tamei. That's the nafgamina. All the flasks that are tied are considered tar. They're all considered tar. Because why? Because it's always loose. It never is done permanent. It's never permanent. It's never permanent. I mean, therefore, it's going to remain tar. So at the Gemara, is tied to Machlav. So Tano learned the other way around the Ramei Yoshita. Meir says, if they're tied permanent, it's tar. If they're tied temporarily, it's tamei. It's exactly the opposite of the understanding that we have now. We have different ways, a steerer way to learn what Ramei Yoshita is. Mishnah, correct the version. So Meir's statement of the Mishnah, that's the proper. There are two ways to learn it. We have two different Masoras, but with the Psak is the way the Mishnah quoted it. So Gemara, some of you done. Similar to Kael Mekalayim, a similar to remember the halacha Ramei Yoshita and Mesekas Kalayim is to remember Kael Mekalayim is a Mishnah Mesekas Kalayim. In other words, that halacha by a tree, we said that it becomes bottled to the Gefen. If not, it's not bottled to the Gefen. The same true over there by flask, the Ramei, same thing by Tuma, that if it's a permanent knot, which a person you undo it, then halacha is not considered good. But if it's a temporary knot, which doesn't keep it going, then it's not considered part of the flask because it's a temporary knot. It's not permanent. Therefore, it's not considered bottled to the flask. It's considered separately. And merely, therefore, it's going to be, that remains going to be considered tamei. So the chari, it's the same halacha by Kalayim and Kalim. It would be the same halacha, the Gemara says. We'll bring a raya. If not for this halacha, it's true that a permanent knot becomes bottled and becomes, and a temporary one does not. Because my answer, then what's between a flask that was tied permanently or not? What should be the difference there? Why Ramei say there's enough community between the two? What would be the svarah to make a difference if you don't say the svarah enough community between whether it's temporary or not? So Mar says, "Biyana yamri." Biyana says, "Svarah ilam tzarechitach." If a flask that's tied permanently, if you want to open up the knot, you can't open it. It's tied forever. You can't get that knot open. You have to cut it in order to be able to get it open. That's considered sealed. But if you have a flask that's tied in a way it does not require to cut it to undo, you can just somehow, even if it takes a difficult time to do it, but you can undo it without having to cut away the knot. And the look is, we consider as if it's undone, and male, therefore, it would be considered as if it's open, as Pesach, and therefore, with no din, a din of Tumah in this particular halacha would not be allowed. Male, therefore, The halakha is not a din of batel, it's a din of question whether it's a different halakha. We thought the same sugars apply. The case of kalim, the case of kalayim is the same halakha. What's considered if it's tied together, is it considered kli or not? There's nothing to do with that. The case over there is not a question whether it's a kli or not. The question is, since it cannot be done anything without, you can't use it unless you cut it away, it's a different halakha. What's considered a kli or not considered a kli? There's nothing to do with our sugya of kalayim, of what we consider something that be considered iser. Bravatil to say that the Gefanim could go, the Zerug could go under the Gefanim or not. It's what's considered Ilan Shrak and Nakin Shrak has nothing to do with the Shaila of Kalim, of what's considered to be a Kli, whether you have to cut it open or not. It's a different Sugya, not the two Sugyas are not comparable.